With a crisis over serious production and use of chemical weapons looming in the background, and tensions in the larger Middle East reaching a near boiling point, President Obama addressed the United Nations General Assembly to outline a broad vision for peace and stability for the region, as well as the intimate role that the United States would play in resolving future conflict. The speech was bold and imaginative, and if taken literally, it could signal the start of larger engagement in the region that privileges practical diplomacy over the use of military force and a possible rapprochement with a 34-year-old enemy, Iran. Evoking the compassion of Jimmy Carter, but the firm resolve of George W. Bush, the president suggested, in the near term, America's diplomatic efforts will focus on two particular issues, Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons and the Arab-Israeli conflict. While these issues are not the cause of all the region's problems, they have been a major source of instability for far too long, and resolving them can help serve as a foundation for a broader peace. These two broad objectives are now at the center of the Obama foreign policy in the Middle East. But what is needed are more specifics as to how each goal will be achieved. While Secretary Kerry will be engaged in efforts to achieve the first goal, the president must clearly spell out how a Washington-Tehran rapprochement would take place against the backdrop of Tehran's flagrant human rights abuses, its bellicose rhetoric concerning Israel's safety, and their sponsorship of terrorist groups like Hezbollah. The key to all of this will rest in whether or not President Hassan Rouhani is sincere and speaks for all of the Iranian government, and if he is willing to take Iran towards a more moderate diplomatic course. If President Obama can secure cooperation on nudging Tehran to abandon its nuclear program, then he could use that same leverage to induce Iran to be a full partner in the larger Middle East peace process, and to combat the spread of weapons of mass destruction among non-state actors. This is a risky gamble. If this effort fails, then it's back to the proverbial post-1979 square one. On the larger initiative of the Arab-Israeli conflict, the president will need to successfully resolve the Syrian crisis in a way that allows for a peaceful resolution that results in the Assad regime fully transferring their chemical weapons stockpiles in cooperation with the Russian Federation and the UN. This will give the president real credibility to approach the Israelis, the Palestinians, and other stakeholders to come to the negotiating table to build on Camp David, Oslo, and Y River to assure stable peace. But here, the president must be extremely careful not to back the Israelis into a corner by pressing for a resolution of Jerusalem's status. And he must not evoke the early request that Israel retreat to its pre-1967 borders. That would be a non-starter. Instead, the Obama administration should act with the quintet, including the UN, the Russian Federation, the Arab League, and NATO, to hash out issues as water sharing rights, the right of return, and settlements before tackling any possible issues that could lead to a debilitating stalemate. In essence, President Obama has his work cut out for him. The stakes for his presidency and indeed America's place in the world are high. And like a game of chess, the president must be careful not to sacrifice his pieces in order to achieve an early checkmate, but to instead move cautiously as to give his and future administrations the latitude that they need to bring about stability.